Hi, this is Ailea.
And this is Kate.
And we enjoy making the podcast for you every week when we want to continue creating new episodes for as long as possible.
However, as you can imagine, this is a big commitment of time and resources. That's why we're asking you for your help to continue to produce and grow Jump Rope Jam together. That's where the Patreon comes into play. Unlike Kickstarter, which works to produce a single project, Patreon is geared for continued digital releases.
Patreon is a fully optional subscription service for listeners who want to give back to the show and be a part of its continued growth and success. Here's how it works.
Step 1. You set the amount you want to give per episode, and Patreon only charges you when a new episode is released. It's that easy.
Patreon lets you set a monthly limit, too, so that way you stay within a budget.
The Patreon also helps us to give back to you. We have amazing bonuses for different subscriber levels, as you can see on the Patreon page,
as well as some exciting milestone goals. So if you go to the Patreon website, follow the link, and you'll be able to see all of the goals and the amounts associated with each goal. The Jump Rope Jam podcast will always be 100% free of charge and always on time to all listeners.
Supporting us through the Patreon is fully optional, but is fully encouraged. With your help, we hope to do the podcast for many years to come.
Thank you for taking the time to view our Patreon page, and remember, jump rope is a sport. See you later.
Bye.
Hey, this is Corey.
Hey, this is Brandon, aka Jump Rope Champion on all social media networks.
And this is Jump Rope Jam. Today we have an amazing guest. Nick is with us. And you know what? I can't do him justice. I think, Brandon, you might be able to describe Nick for the listeners.
Okay.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Right here we have, you know, the most known jumper, a legend in the sport to me. I look up to him, Nick Woodard. You know, he's a champion. He's, you know, the only person that actually got a 10 in freestyle I know of. So, Nick, what are you guys?
Nick.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, can you tell the listeners anything that we might have left out?
I mean, I think you got it. I've been jumping now for about 22 years. I have had the privilege of traveling around the world to promote the sport through workshop shows, camps, exhibitions, things like that. Currently, I am the head coach of a jump rope team called Hot Dog USA out in Seattle, Washington. I'm a U.S. ambassador for an organization called World Jump Rope, and I just love the sport and love to give back as much as possible, and I'm excited to be here today.
Well, thank you. We're excited to have you. Can you tell us and the listeners what got you into the sport in the first place?
So when I was 6 years old, my jump rope coach, who happened to be my PE teacher, he had a program going on at his school. It wasn't anything big, but something that he kind of fell in love with and wanted to bring to our school. He did a school show, which was a lot of fun, just to kind of see something different. And then that weekend they had a workshop. I had some friends that were actually on the team that invited me to the workshop. Loved everything about it once I kind of got my own taste of it. And then shortly after that, I ended up joining the club for a couple months just to kind of get my skills together. And then shortly after that, I joined the team. And it's been 22 years, and I haven't stopped since.
Nice. And how did you meet Brandon?
I've met Brandon over the course of a couple years through different workshops, different shows, and also different competitions that we've both been at, whether it's been here in the U.S. or internationally. So I've been able to just compete against him, and I've also been able to teach him and kind of mentor him through his jump rope process as he's developing through the sport.
Nice.
So yes, he's known me my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, master and apprentice, and I definitely learned a lot. He's taught me a lot, you know, through the years that I've been jumping, and I still learn to this day, you know, tricks from Nick Woodard, and he still, you know, influences me to do better in jump rope. So, thank you for Nick Woodard.
Yeah, no, anytime. I'm glad I was able, I'm still here to give guidance in any way, shape, or form to you and all the other future jumpers coming up in the sport.
Well, it definitely seems like everybody who's involved in the sport is just very passionate and very giving when it comes to helping anybody else, you know, in need in the sport.
Very true. Yeah, our sport is very unique in the sense that it's a very sharing and caring sport. You don't see a lot of other sports where you could literally be going up and competing against somebody in the same age division. You can help them with a trick, watch them perform the trick, and want them to do well. You don't really see that in any other sports besides ours. So I think ours is very, very unique, and I love that about it.
Yeah, it's very unique, and that's what won me over, was just seeing the camaraderie and the love and passion that everybody was putting into it. And I know that you, Ilya, and Caitlin also know each other. How did you guys meet?
Oh, Caitlin's looking at me like I should maybe say something. Like, how did Caitlin and I meet Nick?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm hoping this doesn't sound too creepy, but I actually know Nick from watching him on videos on the internet first, before I ever met him. He kind of came into the picture when I was retired from the sport and not really around. But I did see what he was doing through videos on the internet, and I actually met him for the first time in France at World Jump Rope. But Caitlin's known him for much longer, years. Caitlin wasn't even introduced to the sport until I had already retired from it. So they were sort of active at the same time. So I think their journeys are more parallel. But Kate can tell you about that.
The very first workshop that I met Nick, and it was just like a quick introduction. It was actually my very first year skipping, and it was the Northwestern Pirate Camp in Indiana years ago. But I didn't really get to know him back then. I was just one of the instructors, and I was one of the got formally introduced at a jumping for All-Star workshop. When I want to say 9 to 10. And then we truly got to actually get to know each other and get each other's point of views and perspectives on the sport when him and I were in Africa together back in 2013, helping out some teams down there.
Nice. So,
but we're fans. Canada loves you, Nick Woodard.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And I have found out that, Nick, you are dating somebody who's in the sport as well?
Yes, I am. I've been dating my girlfriend. Her name is Kayla Kuvion. She's been a part of the sport for, I think, the past 17 or 18 years. And, yeah, our relationship has been going pretty strong now, and just enjoying being with each other over the past two and a half years now.
Yeah, I just bring it up because it seems that you really have made the sport your life, and your life is the sport, and it's very interesting and actually very cool that you've met your equal in the sport. Can you talk about how you guys met?
Sure, yeah. We kind of started kicking things off 3 or 4 years ago. She was helping me out with a camp that I run here in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And she got here about a day before everybody else did, as everybody was still flying in, and I had to just take her out to lunch before the rest of the people got there that day. And we just ended up having lunch, kind of talking, kind of, you know, saying that we had a lot in common. And then from there, we just kind of kept connecting. I went to the Olympics that year and kind of did some performances and kind of kept in contact from there. And then at different workshops, we kind of connected a little bit more, just kind of getting to know each other. And then after, it took a little bit because we kind of fell off, stopped talking for about 6 months. And then we picked back up, and then ever since then, it's been great. We haven't let go of each other, and it's just been cool to have somebody within the sport who actually knows the sport with me that is so closely connected to me.
Nice. Go on.
That is exclusive content right there. We just got exclusive content from Nick Woodard, you guys.
Well, on that note, what would you say her strengths are compared to your jumping skills?
Oh, Kaylee Kuvion is a very beautiful jumper, and that takes up everything. I mean, she presents herself very well. She's very graceful when she's jumping, with her power skills. Everything about her jumping style is very graceful, and that's, I won't say completely opposite from me, but I'm more of a power jumper, and her grace is kind of shines when she's on the floor as well. And then when we jump together, we kind of complement each other for my power and her grace, and we just kind of make things work together.
That just I want to tweet out or Instagram out a hashtag powerful, graceful for you guys.
No, perfect.
Talking about hashtags, I've got a question for you, Nick. Is it jumper or skipper?
Jumper. I've always been known as a jumper, not a skipper.
Caitlin? Jumper all day.
Caitlin?
Yes, we're here.
Caitlin, what about you? Because we've gotten Ilya's take on this. She's just definitely a skipper, so.
Don't do this to us, Corey.
No. It's hard to say for me because as a Canadian, the Rope Skipping Canada Foundation, and I am on that board and their committees, I should be saying
you're obligated to say skipper, right?
Not obligated, but in Canada, that is the proper terminology. However, just from habit of talking and when I'm talking about jump rope on a daily basis, I definitely use jump rope.
So jumper so, on the side?
Yeah, but technically in Canada, we go by rope skipping or rope skipper.
Is there a term that we can combine so that everybody in the world is saying the same thing, or do we? Here's
the thing, though, it's not because I'm Canadian and that's what we do here. It's because I like grammar. I like rope skipper rather than jump roper. Roper is just not a good verb.
What? But skipping is something that could be used as kids playing around, they're just skipping around. But when you use the term jumping, most people would say jump rope or jump high, things with jumping. With skipping, you don't really skip when you're jumping.
Okay, what is roping?
Roping is roping could be used for turning.
Yeah, well, we could confuse it with roping up a pig or a cow or something like that, right? Like a cowboy?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It sounds like a rodeo kind of.
Yeah.
To me, that's what roping would be, maybe.
But I think that we should go with whatever Nick has to say since he's been in the sport for so long. So, Nick, let's have you be the deciding factor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have always said jump roper. I've always jumped over a rope. I've never skipped, but at the same time, I don't. I'm not upset with whatever somebody calls it. You want to call it jump roper, you call it jump roper. You want to call it a rope skipper, you call it a rope skipper. It just depends on where you are in the part of the world of what you'll call it. If you're in the U.S., it's always going to be called jump rope. If you're in Canada, rope skipping. If you're in Europe, it's going to be rope skipping. If you go to Asia, probably jump rope. So it just depends on where you are. As long as you can use the terminology and you don't get offended by it, I think you can use either one.
Yeah, I think that we're just being playful and playing around with the term.
Not actually upset.
No, definitely. And how can you be upset with all those amazing bird noises? Because Brandon, if you guys don't know, is back in Trinidad. And I'm not making fun of it, Brandon. I'm actually enjoying the bird noises. So I just wanted to comment on it, but also have you talk about what you're doing, because you're back there again, and you're doing a really good service to the sport and to the people of Trinidad. So,
well, currently I can't hear the birds as much as you guys, I would believe. But, being here, in this warm weather, it's really great. The atmosphere is great. People here, they don't really like to move as fast as we do. They're more laid back and fun. So they have a term called lime, where they just They just stay in one spot in one area and just sit there and just, I guess, enjoy life as it is. So,
and you like to go fast, so that must be really hard for you.
Somewhat. Today I had a free day, so I guess today is my lime day, I would say. So it's definitely been fun, teaching them, how to jump rope and, working towards their strengths and trying to figure out, their weaknesses is just fun. And so, I'll be here for quite a while, a month. So it was definitely something that I can probably record my journey in Trinidad and Tobago.
That'd be great if you could. I think a lot of people would appreciate that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I feel as though, I have a question for all of our jumpers here. How do you guys feel about recording, just recording jump rope and sharing jump rope on social media as much as possible? I see a lot of jumpers who do post jump rope things, but there are also a lot of jumpers who just post their life and pictures and stuff like that. But as a jumper, to me, I would feel as though the most exposure would be to post on social media. So what do you guys feel about posting, jump rope more? Like if you go to practice and you see something that you like and you want to post it, try to post something every practice or every competition, something like that.
Ladies, would you like to go first?
Sure. This is Ilea. For me, it depends on which social media you have me on. My Instagram is predominantly rope skipping. My Twitter feed is completely and exclusively rope skipping, but my Facebook is more my personal life and photos of my family and that kind of stuff. So I kind of keep them separate that way. So I will add more skippers. There's always skippers from all the way around the world speaking different languages, adding you on social media. I tend to just add them all to Twitter or Instagram, and then I kind of keep my Facebook for people that I've actually met. How about you?
For me, it's more of the sense that I do like to post on all social media. I don't really use Twitter I do have it technically. However, it's been months since I've been active on it, so I'm just talking in regards to Instagram and Facebook. But normally, I do post on them. However, for me, it's just a time issue, more or less. Like, I'm always busy and running from one place to another, and I don't always have time to, at the middle of practice, if I have 2 hours to train and figure out stuff, then I'm going to utilize an hour and 58 minutes and a 2-minute water break, and there's normally no time for me to be recording and then going through and editing it and then cropping it and all that fun stuff and then posting it. And then normally people reply and then I don't want to be rude. So then you obviously want to talk to them and everything and all the comments and whatnot. So I do like to do it, but it's when I have time, more or less.
Okay. Yeah. And to piggyback on that, I enjoy promoting the sport as much as I can. And social media is a great way to get the exposure that it needs, especially if you have lots of followers on certain social media outlets. I tend to post about jumping, clearly my life and things like that, but I tend to post about jumping for more bigger things that I know are going on. I don't post all the time about just maybe my everyday practices or things like that, but if a big competition is coming up, I'm definitely going to try to promote that. If something's happening with my team, I'm definitely going to try to promote that. So I do more of those things, and that's probably going back to what Kaylin was saying, just the schedule sometimes, because I'm in the gym a lot of times working with the kids, and then if I'm not working with them, I'm jumping. So I don't focus on posting a whole bunch during the actual practice, but if I know something big is coming up, I will definitely try to promote that. So that's kind of how I use my social media for promotional material for jump rope.
Nice. And talking about things that are big to promote, now that I've got you on, Nick, I want to ask you, I don't know if you've listened to any of the previous podcasts. Have you?
No, actually, I have not had a chance to listen to them, but I will definitely have to go back and check them out.
Oh, that's great. I wasn't asking about that, though, so don't feel pressured to. I just wanted to find out if you had already heard, but I've got we're planning on doing a video recording with Brandon. So obviously, when he gets back from Trinidad, what I want to do is record our reactions, yours, Ilya's, Caitlin, mine, and Brandon's, and maybe anybody else who would like to join or that you guys want to, you know, have on. To jump the movie Jump In, and only the clips from the jumping scenes, and then maybe play a little bit of a game called Can You Find the Young Brandon Harrison? Would you be up for that?
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see when we can try to set something like that up in the next week or two to see if we can make that work.
Yeah, I feel like having that would be not only something fun, but would be able to push the podcast and the audience for the site as well into a little bit more of a mainstream audience on YouTube. So,
and Nick, if you go listen to the other podcast, there's a few of us have name dropped you. You've come up in conversation. I just want to apologize. I get your name wrong every time. Like, people are always correcting me because I think there should be a second W in there.
Oh, I've done that when I was posting on Instagram. I caught it before I posted, luckily. But yeah, I kind of want to say Woodward as well.
Yes, that happens a lot.
Today, Kate was texting me all day at work, like, remember to say his name properly because I always.
Oh wow.
She's got my back, you know. Like, that's what a pair's partner is, what it's like.
This is very true. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Sorry, you know, as a blanket statement. I will likely do it again, so I apologize.
It's okay.
Nick, I had a question for you. Since you've been doing it for so long, can you talk about some of the issues and or problems that you see that are facing the sport and jumpers in general?
Sure. I think the one thing that our sport just continually needs is exposure. That's the biggest thing. It's for those who are included into the sport and have, you know, come accustomed to loving it. It is a sport to us. We love it. We want to do it all the time. But to anybody else on the street, that's not what it is. It's not a sport. It's just an activity with a means to have a better, you know, a better life, a better physical fitness. And which is great, but we have to try to shape people's minds to say this is a sport. And I think the way we do that is kind of like what Brandon was saying with the social media pushes, with just getting jump rope out there more. I also feel that we need to try to get jump rope, you know, recognized by schools so that it's actually a school sport. Some countries have been able to do it. Some countries haven't. So I think we just need to kind of continue to work together so that we can do that, because if we can get this sport recognized more as a sport, then I think it'll help our sport grow, and more people will want to be invested in it instead of just picking it up for 2 months during jump rope for hard and then putting it back down.
Yeah, that's amazing, and we couldn't have said it any better. Yeah, we see that too.
It's really interesting to hear you say that, Nick. I really see you as an advocate for the sport in that manner, because hopefully we can find the clip maybe and post it, but I did see a clip of you where it was basically a sports cast. I don't know if you know the one I'm talking about, but it's a panel of sportscasters in their sports jackets, and they've been doing like commenting on basketball games and, you know, the sports news, and they showed this clip of you and they're like, man, that is athleticism. And they're all like just blown away by, it was a clip of your freestyle routine from World Jump Rope 2015.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, so that clip, in a sense, went viral. My little brother actually helped that happen, because there was a coach at World Jump Rope that recorded my routine. They posted it, and then my brother saw that it was getting a lot of views, so then my brother took it upon himself to just start sharing it to any sports media outlet that would find it on Facebook, and he told my parents to share it, my family to share it. So before you know it, this one video had, you know, upwards to 1 million likes.
Oh, wow.
And, or 1 million views. I won't say likes. A million views within like a 6 day span. And
that's,
I had no idea.
Lot.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. So I was like, oh gosh. And so then once I actually got back to the US, some of the sports channels picked it up. So I think ESPN picked it up, and there were two actual programs. It was like Highly Questionable and there's Sports Nation. And so those two picked it up and were able to show the full clip of it. And like you said, they were able to talk about it and see how exciting it is. So I think, like you said, that type of exposure is what we need. If we can get more people on board, some of those big anchors to see it on national television, I think it'll help our sport for sure, because it's just giving it more and more exposure.
So with that, how do we get, you know, to reach out to, I mean, not really reach out, but how do we get the attention of, you know, ESPN and all of those big companies that, you know, just don't see this as a sport, or don't even see the sport itself?
Can I take a crack at this? Because I actually have been thinking about
it.
Okay. I think that what needs to happen is that we need to create an event that brings in not just the usual jump rope community, but brings in some, you know, outside mainstream audience. And once the word spreads, I think that is what will enable, that will be the first crack, I feel like. And what I mean by like an event like that would be something like a donation drive kind of event, you know, something that has a draw that's not just the sport itself. And then from there, if it raises enough money for that, like cancer research or, you know, Jumping for Heart or whatever it is, I feel like that will open up the doors. That will open up the avenue towards other people, you know, finding out about the sport. So I don't know if I'm right or not, but that's how I feel about it.
Well, there are some events like that in existence. For instance, there's the Arnold Classic. So Arnold Schwarzenegger's at that, right? Here's somebody who's known for physical fitness and a big name in the sports community, and he hosts that event. So we kind of have some association there, and the boys have been talking about Jump Rope for Heart,
yep,
which I think we get kind of some negative association with. Like,
because
it kind of associates our sport with school kids,
yep,
and novice jumpers,
mm-hmm,
jump roper athletes. So, it's kind of been started. And, you know, of course, Melissa, who does the Double Dutch Empire in New York there, is kind of bringing awareness, but again, to beginners and novice, and it kind of the elite level of athleticism that, for instance, like that Nick is portraying on ESPN, I think there's not quite as much exposure for that level of athleticism that would really qualify the sport to those sportscasters as a sport.
Right. But I also think that until you it's like a catch-22 sort of thing. You know, like we were talking about when we had Kate on the last episode, where she was talking about parents who take their kids out of the sport because they're about to go into high school and or college, and the parents want them to be on track on a sport that that will bring their children, you know, money through either, you know, college or after college. So I think that once we get the beginners, that will open up the eyes to the actual sport itself. But Nick, you know, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're on the right track. I think just doing some events like that and having some more outsiders come and see our sport would be perfect. I think the events that are going on now, I think if there's a way to make those, continue developing those events and just kind of really highlighting our athletes, our elite athletes a little bit more, and allowing them to have some more exposure, I think it's okay to do that. Some might think otherwise, but I think that, you know, allowing some of your elite athletes to have a little bit more exposure and allowing either teams or organizations or whatever to actually publicize those elite athletes, I think it could give more exposure. On the flip side of it, when you start getting your novices, I think that the people who are really going to benefit from everything that we're trying to do now are the novices now.
Yes.
So everything that we're doing right now, it's going to be great. We're going to try to pave the way. We're going to try to get the sport out there as much as possible. But we still need to make sure that we grab hold of those novice jumpers, get them loving our sport, so they keep growing through it. So that by the time we've done all this work to try to get the sport to where it is, by the time they are in our shoes, they're actually able to get their names on Wheaties boxes and, you know, have endorsements and things like that. And for me, that's okay. Like, I'll know that I've paved the way. It might not have happened for me, but that kid 20 years from now, it happened for them, and I know that I helped that happen.
Right. And by doing that too, though, you also paved the way to open up positions and ways to make money while, you know, working within the sport, if and when you age out or if and when you injure out, you know, by mm-hmm. building up the sport that way. And then there's going to be positions that need to be filled by athletes like yourself who have the experience, but, you know, can't or don't want to compete anymore. So.
Exactly. No, yeah, you're exactly right. So, yeah, I think there is going to be a way to do that some way, shape or form. I just think as long as we continue to try to work together, that we can make that happen for that next generation and also see what there still is for us to do to get the sport to where we want.
Nice. And on that like negative side, and since you've been coaching for so long, can you tell us, have you experienced what Kate Dolan told us about that she has seen, where parents are pulling their kids out just because they don't see a future in the sport?
I have seen it a little bit with some of my younger kids. So sometimes I'll have my age kids that start to like leave sometimes. It's between like fifth and like seventh grade. That's just because they're able to start doing middle school sports, football, basketball, track, you name it, they can do it. So I've had some turnover where I thought kids were going to keep going, but their parents wanted them to try another sport, and them trying another sport made them not want to come back just because they fell in love with the other one. And that's okay. You know, I think mm-hmm. until we, like we keep talking about, until we're able to give our sport a more credible name, saying like, you know what, you can get scholarships, you can do this, you can do that, you'll have more people that want to be invested with our sport. But I also think that the kids that do stay with it and they just love it all day long, you might not be able to get the money that you want for school and things like that, but your college application, when you have to write about your life experiences, are going to sound so much better than the ordinary person that went and played basketball, because jump rope would give you so many different life experiences. They help you meet people from around the world. It's something very unique that people don't do. So if you're trying to get into Stanford, I promise you, if you have that on your resume, you're going to get looked at probably once or twice, because they're like, you know what, there's something different about that person, we should bring them in. So I can see it on both ends, but as far as, you know, jumpers wanting to stick with it because there's a love for it, and jumpers who don't want to because we don't really know where this can go for us right now.
Okay, speaking of, you know, the next generation and things like that, what would you say would be your range of a next generation? Like, you have your generation, what would you think would be the next generation? Because it's not really something that is exposed, you know, in our sport. You know, what will be the next generation if you're still jumping? Even though you're an older jumper, you're still jumping, but what will be the next generation for you?
Now, are you asking for, like, what's the age range, or what does that next generation look like? Or, like, what are you asking?
Right, like, the age range of the next generation to you.
Got it. I think that next generation would probably be like in that, I'm just ballparking it right now, but like maybe like 20 and below. And I say that because a lot of the, in my opinion, a lot of the next generation is a lot more rope manipulation oriented. And that was, it's become heavier and heavier, which has been great. Like, I think it's just a new element of our sport that people haven't dove into a whole bunch. And I think over the past like 5 to 7 years, people have been really diving into it. And I think the people who've really grasped it are the, it's that next generation, like I said, that 20 and below, because they're doing things that I've never seen before. Don't get me wrong, there are people in this generation now that's still jumping, that's catching fire to it, that have really revolutionized the sport and kind of helped that go. But some of these younger kids that I'm seeing now doing rope manipulation and just kind of being an overall jumper, it's amazing.
Okay. So for the next generation, I would say to me that you are the generation before mine. So I would say that I look up to you. Do you feel as though, you know, back in the day when I was jumping, you know, we were all together, we would always, you know, when we come together, we always did things, you know, traveling and jumping together and things like that. And we always, you know, came together a lot. Do you still feel as though we still have that connection, you know, with this next generation as far as everyone coming together and doing things together and being more connected, you know, with each other?
I believe so. I think this next generation is probably going to be more connected than we ever were. And just because there's more outlets to do it, you have social media, you have, you know, Skype. And I mean, there's so many things out there now that some of the younger generation now are taking a hold of, that they're going to stay connected, you know, even when they're not physically there. And then once they get together, it's going to be like they've never left before. And I think that, as long as our sport continues to be a sharing and caring atmosphere, that this generation, the next generation, the generation after that, that model that we've put together as far as connecting, always being friends, always having a loving atmosphere, is going to continue to stay.
Nice.
Do you think that if and when the sport reaches the, obviously not at the same level as, you know, the NBA or any other kind of sport that's mainstream in America, but if it reaches mainstream audience, do you think that that loving atmosphere might not be able to, you know, stand the test of that mainstream, you know, love?
I personally think it'll stay as long as we allow it to stay. I think that when we get other jumpers involved with our sport, we as older jumpers, as coaches and things like that, we know what our sports is all about. And so we try to make sure that to portray that on our kids. And so then when a new wave of kids come in, we don't have to portray it as much, because those kids can tell us, the other kids, this is how we do it. This is what the sport's all about, you know, because they're backing what we're saying. So I think as our sport continues to grow, it'll keep the same loving and nurturing atmosphere as long as we allow it to. If we don't want it to and we just kind of step away from that, then sure, it can get into the rigorous, you know, NBA rivalries, you know, I don't want to talk to you, stuff like that. But I, you know, jumper's been going on for, you know, as long as I know of right now, and so far it's kept its love, it's kept its atmosphere, and I don't see it changing.
All right, Brandon.
Yes.
Are you able to leave the house since it sounds like the dogs are really barking?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I love dogs, as Ilya found out the other podcast.
Oh, right.
But it would be nice, though, if we... yeah, thank you. That's 10 times better.
Okay.
I have some questions for Nick.
Okay, go for it.
Sure.
That's okay. All right. So, Nick, I know you're reputed to be a very innovative skipper. And by that, I mean you come up with a lot of unique and distinct tricks that have never been done before. And when Dylan was on, he was saying how you were the first person to do the Sunny D, was it? When Jesse chipped his tooth?
The death wish.
The death wish, that's right, and death wish as well. So my question is,
Where does the inspiration for that come from? Do you come up with them yourself? Is that something like, are they born out of collaborative efforts with the other guys on your team? Like your pairs routine with LJ was very innovative as well. Are you scanning the Twitter feeds and watching all the videos? And do you set time aside just to experiment with new things, or are they born out of mistakes? Where do you get that inspiration from?
The inspiration comes from literally everything you just talked about. Sometimes they come on my own because maybe I watched a TV show or like a So You Think You Can Dance and saw something on there. I was like, oh, that could be cool in the pairs routine. Sometimes they happen by mistake because I'm working on a trick with LJ or with one of my partners. We mess up, but it actually worked out perfectly. So boom, there's another one. And sometimes it's just collaborating with the guys, just being like, you know, what could we do differently? Like, what have we done before? What have you done individually before? And how can you change it up? And I think that's kind of where a lot of it's come from. So I can't really take any credit myself for being as innovative as you're speaking to, because I've had a lot of help along the way. I mean, the biggest person who helped me was my pairs partner, when I used to jump for Razzmatazz full time. Was Jeff Moss, because he's the most creative person I ever knew. He would just say, Nick, you should try this. I'm like, okay, why not? And I would just try it, and if it worked, great. If it didn't, then we just kind of left it in the bag for something else. So, it's truly for me over the past 22 years been a very collaborative effort, and I've just been blessed to be able to put some of these skills on the floor and just kind of showcase them to everybody in the midst of my routines.
Awesome. I also want to ask you, I really think we should start asking everybody who comes on about their equipment. So being a freestyle guy, what do you use for a freestyle rope? What type of rope are you looking for your freestyles?
Sure. So for single rope freestyle, I prefer to use a beaded rope. I've been using a beaded rope probably ever since I started jumping. There might have been like 2 or 3 years where I haven't used one, but I personally enjoy the weight that it brings. I don't want it to be too heavy, nor do I want it to be too light. And I feel like I can actually control the rope more. As for a presentation aspect of it, I feel like the judges or a crowd or anything like that can actually see what the rope is doing. It's like, okay, I see the arc of the rope actually going around them. This makes sense to me, because once you start moving the rope 3, 4, sometimes 5 times within one jump, you know, and unless you're listening to it, you can't really see it. And I think sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes a beaded rope can actually bring that out a little bit more. So I've just enjoyed using that over the years. I just always use a short handle beaded rope and just kind of kept going with it. Double Dutch as well. Everything's been beaded for me.
Except for speed, of course.
Oh, except for speed, you're correct. So I am not I play around saying that I'm a speed jumper, but if you really want to look at it, I am not a speed jumper. Speed has not really been my forte as far as going super fast, but whenever I do speed, I clearly use a wire rope, and I try to jump as fast as I can. Sometimes I go great, sometimes I don't. So it's just a struggle. That's why I stick to freestyle.
So what are you laughing about, Brandon?
Because I know all too well about Nick's great speed that he has, compared to his freestyle. So I would just say he's definitely a great overall jumper to me.
I appreciate it. I'll trash talk all day long, though. I mean, you would think I hit 100 all day long, but I won't. You know, I'll trash talk all day long. So,
but you've definitely gotten close. It's not like you're ultra slow, but you're definitely pretty fast. It's just that you're not
Brandon, the difference between freestyle and speed in the world, or
oh no, by far I'm not the fastest in the world.
Who's the fastest? Who holds that record?
Well, there's different people who hold different records. Within different competitions, for 30 seconds, I would say the world record is held by an 11-year-old at this moment, with 110 jumps, I believe, 110 jumps in 30 seconds. So that would be 220
Who is that?
You know, counting both feet. I don't know. I can't pronounce his name for sure, but I just know he's 11 years old. China.
Oh, okay.
We're both just looking at each other, shaking our heads. That's insane, right? That's like, you know, 20 jumps more than me. That's so many. But that's amazing. So,
yes.
Kate wants to ask about double Dutch speed, Nick. What are you using as ropes for double Dutch speed, and how are you faring in double Dutch speed?
Sure. So for double Dutch speed, I mean, once again, I prefer weight, so I would love to use bleeder ropes all day long. But whenever I do double Dutch speed with the older boards, as far as like turning double Dutch pair speed and things, we use licorice ropes. So we use those. It's a little bit easier to use, and the boys enjoy those a little bit more. So I just have to adjust to them. As far as my kids, say that one more time.
I think she was just laughing.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
As far as the kids though, whenever we're coaching them, most of our kids use bleeder ropes just so they can actually control them a little bit more. And as they get faster and kind of get a grasp of what the rope's supposed to be doing, we allow them to go to a different form of rope, which tends to be a licorice rope that helps them go a little bit faster because it's not as heavy. So, licorice would be it.
Nick?
Yes?
When you're coaching your team and you allow the double Dutch groups to no longer use beaded ropes, is it your choice or a coach's choice, or is it the jumper's choice as to what type of rope they use? Because in Canada, it's pretty even still between cloth and licorice, and then some people will still use wire double Dutch ropes. So I'm just intrigued on where that decision comes from.
A little bit of both. We try to work with our jumpers to see what's going to be the best to help them be successful. We've had some jumpers that are like, you know, they are really fast, and they probably should move the licorice ropes, but their turners sometimes can't control it because they don't understand what the rope's supposed to be doing because it's just a different feel to it. So depending on the jumpers that are in that group, and the coach that's involved with it, you know, we try to make a decision what's going to help you be successful. Is transitioning over going to a licorice rope, is that going to help you because you can understand it? After 3 or 4 practices, if it's not really working, we're like, you know what, maybe we should go back to beat it, and then they're fine. So it's just, I think it's a collaborative effort to see what's going to work, because if you look at our kids now, we'll probably have 3 or 4 that are using licorice, and then we have 3 or 4 who are using beat it. But that's just because that's what they can do right now. Maybe next year, we'll try them all out with licorice and then see if we have to back it up to beat the ropes again. But I wouldn't say it's all my call or all their call. We kind of work together.
Okay, Nick, I have one last question for you.
Sure.
For Nick. I have one last question for Nick to settle a score from our last podcast. So take all the time that you need to answer this question, but who would you say and this is before Kaylee's foot, who would you say has the better split, you or Kaylee?
Oh, gosh. well, I mean, you know, I tend to be pretty flexy. So I would, because
well,
I
we
like
all agreed that
split.
You have a beautiful split.
Thank you.
The debate is whose is better?
Whose is better?
In your
In my opinion,
it's a trap. Guess, don't answer it.
It's a huge trap. In my opinion, you know what? I can do a good split for one split and come up. Kaylee, on the other hand, can do like several splits in a row. So for that, I would give it to her, but if it's just one split, I might have to give it to myself. You know, I'm just throwing it out there.
That was a very chivalrous of you. Good job.
Nice.
Thank you.
Perfect navigation of that question. I was waiting for one of you guys to ask him that. I didn't know who it was going to be, either Brandon or you, Aylia.
It's okay. Nick and I, we're chums. Yeah, so... I feel
always
comfortable laughing with him.
Yeah, anytime.
So when we were talking with Aylia a couple episodes back, she brought up two things that I want to ask you, Nick. One of them was that she had an experience crossing the border, Canada and the United States. with her having her ropes and tape in her trunk. And also she's had experiences where, and so has Brandon, where people have come up to them and commented on their either jump roping skills or just them being jump ropers. Have you had any of these kind of experiences? And if you have, could you share any of them that stand out to you?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I one experience as far as getting crossing a border, I was going into Canada, this was a couple of years ago, and as I was crossing over, they didn't understand that I was going to go help a team, and they wanted me to go into their office, and so I said, okay. So I came back there, and so he took my passport. He said, you know, you go sit down. I said, all right. So 15 minutes later, he calls me back up there, and he's like, so what's the moneymaker? I said, excuse me? And he said, yeah, what's the moneymaker? I said, are you talking about the trick that I did like 10 years, however long, like 4 or 5 years ago? I said, did you just go back there and YouTube me? And he was like, yeah, we kind of Googled you and found this moneymaker trick. I'm like, oh, that's just a trick. I'm not getting money for, no. He was like, oh.
That's amazing.
Oh,
I love
it. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was like, so that was, It was very random and weird, but yeah, they literally went back there and Googled me and YouTubed me, and they saw Moneymaker, and that made them question what I was doing in Canada.
So like, you never want anyone who's wearing a gun to ask you about your Moneymaker, right? Like that.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, come on.
But
so, yeah,
what even
so
spurred them to have you come into the office anyway? Like, what was it, your ropes or?
It wasn't the ropes. It was the fact that I said I was coming into Canada to do a jump rope workshop. And they said, well, are you getting paid? I said, no. They said, who are you working with? And I told them. They said, it was that what sparked it.
Mm-hmm. So they assumed that you were coming in to make, like, who would do this kind of work without making money? And then they YouTubed you, you know, or Googled you and found the moneymaker. So, of course, he wants to make money. Ay, that's awful.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, good job. But then on the other hand, as far as just having random people come up to me, as far as, you know, being impressed with the sport, that happens quite a bit. You know, whenever I happen to jump, you know, either at a school show or an NBA performance or just, you know, jumping at my gym that I work at for 24-hour fitness. Things like that. If I'm just kind of jumping around and people haven't seen it to that level before, they're always impressed by it. They always want to come up and be like, you know what? I've never seen that. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Or how did you get involved? And so that kind of spurs on a conversation. So I think that's great for any jumper because it just kind of, once again, gives more exposure. And you never know, that person that you're talking to could lead to another connection for something else for our sport or for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
What is your background, by the way? We've actually never had this conversation. I'm sure that, like, Brandon and Caitlin know, but I'm assuming you come from an acrobatics background?
Yeah, so my background, I was a gymnast, a tumbler. I took gymnastics my parents put me in when I was about 3 years old. And then I stopped right around, like, 6. And then when I stopped, that's kind of when I started jumping, because that's when I kind of saw my PE coach and things like that. And from there, I literally just never stopped tumbling. So my tumbling background came from because I went to gymnastics, and then because I gained that air awareness and kind of understood where my body was supposed to be, I was able to then learn more skills, not just jump rope skills, but learn more tumbling skills. So like I learned how to do a full and then, you know, an Arabian, things like that. So that was all predicated from my background of being a tumbler before I even started jumping.
Yeah, that's really cool because, you know, integrating acrobatics into the sport, I find there's really a niche for that because with the rope drag, and you have to sometimes alter your form a little bit to hold the rope away from your body, and there's almost a unique technique to doing acrobatics with a rope. And I know when I was learning in the 90s, there was nobody to teach you that. You kind of had to figure it out for yourself, but now I can actually sort of you know, teach kids coming up what you need to do to get that to happen. I know I was working on the back tuck with the backwards AS in it, and mm-hmm. Robbie and LJ were kind of like, okay, well, set high and cross like you've never crossed before, right? They're giving you hints on how to actually make those two skills compatible, which is really cool. I'm sure you have a lot to offer that way.
Yeah. I've, you know, the cool thing is, yes, I've had experience with tumbling, and then over the years, I've actually become a tumbling instructor. So that kind of helped me kind of find out some of those little small things that people don't think about. And then when I came up here for HOTDOGUSA, I became the director over their jump rope gymnastics program, where I was literally teaching gymnastics to our jumpers so that they can put it on the floor. And just like you said, those small little things of like, you know, you need to set a little bit higher, you need to cross a little bit bigger here. Like, to a jumper, all that makes sense. Because once they have the flipping skill, now you're trying to figure out how you put the jumping skill to it. And then just being able to have the experience of actually doing it and then being able to show them, I think it kind of translates a lot for our jumpers now and anybody else who wants to learn, because you're like, you know what, here's little tidbits that you need to make that trick successful.
So what do you think about, since gymnastics has been perfectly joined with the sport, I've been noticing, and I talked with Brandon about this a couple episodes ago, about combining dance, specifically breakdancing, with the sport.
Yeah, I think any integration of something different outside of just the pure jump rope skill is great. So, you know, over the past couple of years, flipping, well, I won't say past couple of years, for a while now, flipping has been a big thing. People want to learn how to do the next flip, things like that. I think breakdancing is probably something new that people are starting to do, but I think it'll catch fire pretty soon once more people start doing it within our sport. Another one that I've seen people get into is, I think it's called tricking, and yep. That's where you're like flipping off axis. So things like that, these are just new evolutions of our sport, because then each generation is always trying to push the envelope and do something different. So, you know, I think this next generation, they're going to be all about the breakdancing and the tricking and figuring out, how can I put this with the rope? And if they can do it, I say let's go for it.
Definitely.
We have it in our pairs routine.
Oh, you
Kate
do?
And I have had a breakdancing combination, yeah.
Do you have a video of this? I'd love to see it.
Apparently Brandon does.
Oh, that's the video that you have, Brandon?
Oh, right.
It's that routine.
Have the video.
Can you, when you get back, can you send that to me? And I'll put it on the website like I said that I'd wanted to do.
The thing with it is I can't really get it off my phone. Like, I put it into my iCloud, and I don't really know how to work iCloud, but I'm still trying to figure it out.
I can help you with that.
Okay.
We have never seen any footage of ourselves at World Jump Rope. I guess a lot of the video equipment got seized at customs coming back from France.
Oy.
And we actually, like, we've never seen it, so we're just itching to find it. We do have one recording of the routine at a provincial competition in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have it recorded, but we do a skill that is called the helicopter. And it's a breakdancing maneuver.
Yep.
We end up in a push-up.
Wow. Brandon, when you get back, definitely let me help you out with that. And we'll see if we can pull it off the phone.
Okay.
But I agree. I think that, you know, once anything, this sport or anything that's a living, breathing thing, any kind of sport or any activity, once it stagnates, once there's no creativity, that's when it's going to die. And luckily it seems like jump rope is nowhere near that. And I think that, like you said, Nick, like, it's all about the next generation, and they're experimenting. And yeah, breakdance. And Brandon, who did you say like a while back you told me the name of a jumper who came from breakdancing? Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yes, Jake from Hot Dog USA. He also jumps with Nick as well.
Oh, okay. So
I believe that's his name.
Is that his name?
That is his. Yes, that's his name. Jake is. He has a breakdancing background, so he was with the team for a long time, and then I jumped with him for a year when I first got here. He went to college. He kind of like stopped jumping for a while, and then his senior year, he's jumping with us again, and his breakdancing ideas and everything has been a nice breath of fresh air, because it's just something different, and we're like, cool, how can we utilize that? How can we put that into our routines? How can you be highlighted because of your breakdancing within the ropes?
Nice. We would love to have him on if you could talk with him.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to get a word to him and see what he says.
Yes, that is very interesting.
I definitely see it in your DDC routines, Nick. I definitely see some breakdancing prefaces there.
Yeah, and that all came from Jake. I mean, I think over the years as we developed and kind of grew with Fusion, the one thing that we want to do more of is do some more of the breakdancing or that element to it. But none of us knew how to do it well enough to actually highlight it into a routine. And I think over the past like year or so, and especially with Jake coming back, we've been able to really like put that in there and kind of integrate that to our routine. So now it's just like a staple of what we do now.
Yeah, you definitely have to give the Hot Dog Guys credit for sure. They've got their music cut and mixed. They are doing the fusion step. They're doing flips that and combined and assisted flips that we've never seen before. Again, it's that innovation. They're pulling the breakdancing in. I really see a yearning on your team in particular to flatter you a bit. To really keep growing and keep attaining new skills and new developments. I've never seen Hot Dog do the same routine twice. It seems like just from practice to practice, you guys are always upping the ante. I love that you have that energy of like egging each other on from trick to trick. And I think that's how our sport's going to expand, right? Like you said, it's paving the way. For anybody else in the sport to reach out and try and learn and master a new skill that can be integrated.
Yeah, very true. And I appreciate it. Like it's been amazing jumping with these boys up here because they push me, I push them, and just the creative juices that come from everybody. It really works well for our team. Like there's lots of ideas that come out, and it's just a matter of like hashing them all down, figuring out what happens, figuring out what works, and then just being able to complete those skills on the floor and have a good time doing it. That's why you always hear us while we're out there, like literally encouraging each other. Come on, can you do it? Let's go. You know, because that's how we get ourselves going, just because we're jumping with each other and we're doing new things. And our whole goal is when we go out there, we want to show you something different. We want to show you something new. And if we can do that every single time we step on the floor, then we're doing a good job.
That's been our experience exactly. I mean, there's only two of us in our little pocket up here, but certainly we're opposites. Like, I'm from a different generation of jumpers almost, and we're opposite jumping styles. But that diversity, when it was unified by a common goal, made both of us a million times stronger. Both of us improved drastically just from getting together and figuring out how to work. We try and make our routines to complement our strengths because they are very different, but certainly, especially as far as my jump rope career goes, but also in my personal life, like meeting Kate changed my life. And it definitely makes you try harder, right? When you have someone else and you don't want to let them down. And also having somebody you feel is taking a risk on you. Like for me, I was kind of like, I'm washed up from my career in the 90s, and Kate was sort of reintroducing me to the sport. But at the same time, she had the open mind to sort of, you know, learn a breakdancing skill and grow from what I had to offer. And in the end, that diversity made us come out so much stronger in the end. And I definitely think, after hearing that from you, Nick, that I also want to encourage jumpers, like the best thing you can do to diversify your skills is meet somebody who's the opposite of you and jump with them.
Well, look at all of you guys. Each one of you has a different jumping skill. From listening to you talk about what your strengths are and what you love about jumping, it's all different. And you've all pushed each other, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, if anybody else has anything to say, now would be the time to do it. I think that it's been a lot of fun. I would love for this to continue, but this is one of the first podcasts where we've actually broken an hour in recording. So I just want to give you guys all a heads up if you need to go anywhere or do anything.
Well, we need to train again. Mm-hmm. We were training nice. When you called me.
What about you, Nick? You said that you had like 45 minutes, so.
Yeah. No, I mean, I appreciate y'all having me on the call. We have some end of the year parties to do with some of my younger kids, so that's kind of what I am gearing up for in the next 10 minutes.
Okay, so can you then maybe tell the listeners, I'm sure they all know already, but to anyone who doesn't, maybe you can share where people can find you if they already don't follow you on social media, and just maybe talk about your team as well.
Sure. So once again, my name is Nick Woodard. I am the head coach of a jump rope team called Hot Dog USA based out of Seattle, Washington. If you're looking for me on any social media outlets, you can search Nick Woodard 87 on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. They're all the same. So look for me there. You can follow me. You can like my page, everything. And I would love to be able to talk with many more jumpers about any of their experiences or just anything with jump rope. If you're looking for more information about my program, Hot Dog USA, you can visit them on the website, www.hotdogusa.org. Has everything about our program and myself on there. So, and once Nick, again, thank y'all. Yes.
When we would love to have you on again, and maybe when we do have you on again, other than the video idea that we had, maybe that one episode could be just you talking about Hot Dog USA, because I think that would be very interesting, and it would be nice for you to be able to have a platform to talk about it.
Sure, yeah. Anything I can do to help my program go further, I'm all about it.
Okay, great. Brandon, do you have anything else to say before we thank Nick and let him go?
Nope. I will see you soon.
Sounds good. Yeah, just let me know if I need anything else, and once again, I appreciate y'all having me on the call.
No problem. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Anyway, I was going to say that Ilya did it last time. Brandon, you did it have been doing it for a while now. So maybe, Caitlin, you want to send us out?
What do I say?
Exactly. That's all I wanted to hear, Caitlin. Okay, Brandon, why don't you lead us out?
Okay, start the outro.
I just did. Remember, I don't have anything special that I say.
Do you want to do it the same as last time?
Yes.
We can do it the same as last time. Ready? Here
so
we go.
Started.
Keep your chin up and jump high.
And remember, jump rope is a sport. See you later.
Perfect.
There it is. Shazam.